prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Good Sunday morning. It is Truth Revolution. I am Dave, and with me is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Salina and Belleville and Abilene and all the towns we're in.
Right. This is where faith and reason coexist. They collide. They meet. They intermingle. And sometimes on this show, it's really hard to tell where one ends and the other one begins.
Faith and reason.
Faith and reason.
That's because we believe they're actually the same genre.
Right. You can have reasonable faith.
Yeah. I was watching some YouTube videos today.
Were you?
I should never do that.
I know. Well, you know what my problem is? I watch YouTube videos and then I scroll down and read the comments.
Oh, just it. Okay, yeah, that's bad. The videos I was watching, you know, with Hitchens and some other atheists, and they were talking about, well, I'm an atheist because I'm just a thinker. I can't help it. I think about things, and so I can't believe in God because I'm a thinker.
Right.
Wow. And I just want to say, have you never really thought about the evidence? Because this is some deep, weighty stuff.
It is. And you just can't shrug it off. And for me to see somebody just shrug off evidence that, I mean, has been what, in the making for, well, since the beginning of the universe anyway, but I mean, on our planet, you know, for the last several thousand years, it's like, how can you shrug that off?
And what annoys me more is what we're talking about today. This annoys me even more than atheists who say Christianity isn't rational. When people say, oh yeah, believe whatever you want. Or when they say, no, all religions are valid. Or when they say, you can't judge someone for that belief they have. Right. Because that's a religious belief, so you can't say whether they're right or wrong.
So you're saying the truth is not objective.
I am saying that truth corresponds to reality. Now, we're going to get into this today. We're going to talk about the nature of truth, whether or not you can tell somebody they're wrong in a religious discussion.
Right. And because
I've kind of thrown my cards out there already.
It's such a non-PC thing anymore. You can't tell somebody they're wrong.
I know. It's like, well, actually, you said that 2 and 2 equaled 28,000. And I just want to point out that that's not the right answer. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. You were right. You were right.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. 2 plus 2 equals 28,000 or whatever you want. Yeah, okay. Okay.
In my book, 2 plus 2 equals chair. Well, really, it does. If you turn the chair upside down, it's a 4.
That, dude, you just blew my mind.
That's called truth.
So anyway, we're also going to do some questions from listeners. If you have questions, which we know you do, you have some questions about God or the Bible or maybe a challenge, I want you to rock our world.
Do.
Go ahead and go on over to truthrevolution.tv or send an email to questions@truthrevolution.tv.
Because here's the bottom line.
What's the bottom line?
If what we're believing in is not the truth, I don't believe in it.
Me neither. So if you have evidence to the contrary, let us know so we can stop believing in it.
Right. And nobody's been able to do that yet.
But too, if you have questions, if you're like, hey, there's this Bible verse that's really weird. We got a question today. Hopefully we're going to get to it.
Right.
About Matthew 27. Some really weird stuff in there.
Not hopefully. We're going to get to that today. And I'm going to make that a promise, Jeff.
Dave.
I'm going to hold you to
Dave
it.
Just made a promise.
I'm going to hold you to it.
Dude, we are going to rock today because Dave's making promises and he's throwing it all out there. So,
well, you know, we've tried to hit that question over the last couple of weeks.
I know it's been like 3 weeks.
On it, so
okay.
We're going to do it today. Promise.
And we're going to do Bible contradiction as usual. But I want you to answer these questions for me before we get to the Bible contradiction, before we get to the listener questions, before everybody goes and visits truthrevolution.tv, which they should be doing.
Every day.
Right now. Do unicorns have one horn? Yes. The answer should be yes.
Okay.
Unicorns have one horn. Do I have two eyes?
Yes.
Yes.
Unless you have one of your shirt, because I've never seen your bare chest.
Let me look here. Nope, just two.
Right.
I have two eyes. Mm-hmm. Now we have to define something. These two statements, the unicorn has one horn and Jeff has two eyes, are very different statements. They're both true, but it's hard to see the difference. What do you think might be the difference between these two statements?
One is ridiculous and the other one's not.
What do you mean one's ridiculous?
Okay, well, I mean, aside from hoaxes, has anybody ever found a unicorn? Seriously?
Not that I am aware of.
All right, I stumbled into the office today and found a Pastor Jeff.
Yes.
Okay. So I can see Pastor Jeff has
my existence
two eyes.
Is real.
Right. Okay. Now, I've never seen a unicorn, so I couldn't tell you that a unicorn definitely has one horn. Now, judging from the name of the unicorn, I don't know. Is it uni? Does that mean one horn?
Okay, so the problem is, while it is true that unicorns have one horn, there's no such thing as unicorns!
Right.
Right? That's the problem.
And if you do stumble upon a unicorn, it probably is playing a trombone. That's the horn it has.
What are you talking about?
All right, I know that's your favorite horn.
They use different definitions of truth, these two sentences, right? One is correspondent truth and one is coherent truth. Allow me to define that for you.
Do that.
Coherent truth means it's internally consistent.
Mm-hmm.
It coheres. Unicorns have one horn is coherent because it coheres. It fits together within itself. Apart from any other considerations, whether it's real or not, it is true that unicorns have one horn.
Okay.
The problem is there's no unicorns. It may be internally consistent, but it doesn't really correspond to reality.
All right. So
something that is true or factual will be coherent, but can you see any problems with coherent truth?
Well, I mean, if it's internally coherent... Well,
if something is only coherent truth, the problem is a group of lies could be coherent truth. Bank robbers could make up a story about where they were and what they were doing during the time of the robbery, and it could cohere perfectly because, oh,
I see.
All their friends say they were there. You know, they said they were drinking 7-Up. They have a 7-Up with them.
Right on. So the Santa Claus plot by all the parents across the world
could be a coherent truth.
It's a coherent truth because everybody says the same thing, basically.
There really are presents under the tree.
Mm-hmm.
My mom and dad told me Santa was real.
Right.
You know, I saw Santa Claus in the mall. It cohered together. The problem was it's not actual. It's not really what happened.
Right. So there was a Saint Nick, but he didn't do all that.
Right. Now, correspondent truth, however, because that was coherent. Like it coheres, it sticks together. Mm-hmm. Correspondent,
it's believable.
Yeah. Correspondent truth.
Kind of.
Well, it doesn't matter if it's believable or not.
Right.
It sticks together.
Gotcha.
Correspondent truth corresponds to how things really are.
Right.
Jeff has two eyes. That's a correspondent truth because that's really the way it is. We're not concerned with the bank robber's coherent truth. We're concerned with correspondent truth. Where were the bank robbers for real?
Right.
Were they really at the bank with a gun taking money? Or were they really at home drinking 7-Up and playing Nintendo?
Right.
I don't care what their story is. I don't care what fits together. I care about what really happened.
So coherent truth is what the robbers make up when they're outside of the courtroom.
Yeah.
Correspondent truth is really what comes out in the courtroom.
At least that's the goal.
That's the goal.
Okay. Now, the question is, what does this mean for religion? When we talk about religion, everybody jumps into coherent truth. Like, well, as long as you believe it and you like it and it works for you, that's good. But I'm saying today, religion is not about coherent truth. Religion is about correspondent truth. Is this how it really is? I don't care if I think there's a God. I want to know if there really is a God. I don't care if it helps me to think that there's a God.
Right.
I want to know if there really is a God, even if it doesn't help me to know that God's real.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know if he's real or not.
Right.
If I find out that God is real and he's actually a really mean God,
yeah,
I want to know that, even though it doesn't help me.
Right. I've got an agnostic friend who is obviously a lazy agnostic because
lazy agnostic. Yeah,
the person is agnostic and unwilling to do anything about it.
In LA? I just made that up.
Lazy agnostic.
I coined a term.
So basically, I asked him the other day. I said, "Okay, so you're agnostic, so you believe there may be something out there. You're not really sure what it is."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm.
Why aren't you out looking?
Oh, man.
If you think that there's something out there, why wouldn't you be searching for it?
Now that, my friend, is a good question. How can people say, I believe in God, or maybe there's a God, but not take that seriously?
Mm-hmm.
The existence of God is the most serious thing I could possibly fathom.
Exactly.
If he's real, that changes everything.
Right.
If he is not real, that changes everything. So and it's kind of ridiculous to sit there and say, well, I'm not sure what I believe, or I believe in God, but I don't do much about it.
Right.
We want to know how things really are. Correspondent truth. I was listening to a radio show the other day, or I heard about the radio show. Someone said, well, I believe this about God. And the response from another person on the show hosting was, well, wait a minute. Don't anybody question him, because that's his religious belief. You cannot question that. Someone had asked him, well, where do you get that in the Bible? And she said, don't question that. You can ask, where do you get that in the Bible? Whoa. That's his belief. And look, we don't want to know, what do you believe? We want to know what's real.
Right.
Now, we're gonna come back to this, but we do, we promised, Dave promised, yes, that we would answer a question.
But before we do that, I just want to say, is not religion the search for truth? It should be.
It should be.
There you go.
It should be. And so we're looking for real truth, not truth that makes us feel good.
Right.
So,
all right.
Anyway.
Let's go ahead and do this
listener question. If you want to send in a question, you can go to truthrevolution.tv and right, click on Ask Questions in the top right.
There you go.
Or you can send an email to questions@truthrevolution.tv.
Or you can call Jeff on his cell phone. His number is 555.
Or you can go to Revolution Church's Facebook page.
There you go. So, all right. So we have this listener's question, and he says, Jeff, I've been listening to your radio show on the way to church. It's a great show. Thank you very much. I wonder if you've ever dealt with the following passages in Matthew 27. And this is it's Matthew 27, 51 through 56.
Okay.
Okay. It goes like this. Just then, the temple curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split apart and tombs were opened and the bodies of many saints who had died were raised.
The raised from the dead, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They came out of the tombs after his resurrection and went to the holy city and appeared to many people. Now then a centurion and those who were with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place. They were extremely terrified and said, many women who have followed Jesus from Galilee and given him support were also there watching from a distance. Among mm-hmm. them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, or the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee.
Okay.
So.
What's his question?
His question is, it seems pretty dramatic, but I've not heard any preachers talk about it, and some commentaries just mentioned there was an earthquake. What do you think? That's a totally open-ended question. We've got only half an hour, Jeff.
Right.
So,
well, first of all, thanks for the compliment. I'm glad you enjoy the show. I'm glad you love it.
Oh, yeah.
We appreciate that. And now, Matthew 27. This is a very peculiar little piece of scripture.
It is.
The strangest thing, I think, is that Matthew mentioned the book of Matthew, mm-hmm. Mentioned these people rising from the dead. Like, the earthquake happened, the tombs broke open, and lots of saints rose from the dead.
Just basically walking around.
Yeah, but none of the other books of the Bible did.
Right.
Like, this is a really big deal, and three out of the four Gospels just blew right by it.
Right. You think maybe Matthew being a little sensationalistic there?
Well, the basic options are, number one, some Old Testament saints really did rise from the dead when Jesus died. Mm-hmm. And that would be in keeping with the extraordinary miraculous events around Jesus.
Right.
I mean, he raised people from the dead. Mm-hmm. He's going to raise himself from the dead in a few days after that event. He was certainly miraculous in lots of different ways. And so, you know, you have the Son of God dying on earth. Certainly, this is like a monumental occasion. So to think that some people their tombs were broke open and they rose from the dead, if Jesus really was the Son of God who was dying for the sins of all mankind, this isn't beyond the pale of reason.
Right. Well, just think about it. That is the single most
crucial,
biggest event in the history of the universe.
It really is. And so, you know, this could have happened. The other option is that you could read this as apocalyptic literature. In other words, it might be hyperbole to describe a great event. The question there would be, what's the dialect and the author's intent? Mm-hmm. You know, we use the cracked acronym to solve Bible contradictions.
Right.
And one of them is the dialect. Like, what type of language are they using? And the author's intent, what was he trying to communicate? Well, the author's intent clearly is that Jesus' death was monumental.
Right.
That's the biggest point here. But beyond the author's intent, what was he trying to get at? Was he trying to show that it was a big event, and so he was using apocalyptic language? Was it superfluous, intended to show the powerful implications of Jesus' death? I mean, certainly the Bible uses that language at times.
Right.
And so I wouldn't throw out completely that this could just be hyperbole intended to show the monumental importance of Jesus' death. However, I personally would go with number one. I believe people really did rise from the dead.
Right.
And that Matthew, who wrote this, was describing what he saw. I don't think there's any reason to not accept that.
Right. And it was a very powerful moment in the history of the universe, and that just could have spilled over.
Right. And, you know, we looked at the reliability of the Gospels, and it was probably, we can confirm that they released accurate information.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, we're going to come back with more about truth, a Bible contradiction, and maybe another question if we have time.
There you go.
Go over to truthrevolution.tv and ask some questions. You can donate if you want to. Come on over to Revolution Church. Starts every Sunday morning at 10:15 a.m.
You're invited to Revolution Church this Sunday. Don't wear a suit and tie. Nobody else does. Just come as you are. Revolution Church has a special kids program planned, rocking music, and teaching that actually matters for real life. 10:15 this Sunday morning. Just music, teaching, and a program for the kids. 10:15 this Sunday morning. Check us out online, SalinaRevolution.com. www.SalinaRevolution.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Science cannot technically prove God exists.
Can't disprove him either.
But science can offer evidence.
And one of those lines of evidence is the incredible complexity and design that our universe has.
For example, just for life to exist, our planet has to have some extraordinary things going on.
There's a small habitable zone for the Earth. Scientists have taught that if the Earth was just 5% closer to the sun, we'd reach temperatures of 900 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow, I would totally open a lemonade stand. Or be dead.
If the Earth were 20% further from the sun, carbon dioxide clouds would form, and we'd have the same type of environment Mars has, which could not have supported life as we know it.
Science gave us great info. The question is, do we think this is a huge coincidence that we just happen to be in the right place, or?
Or maybe someone just happened to design it that way.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same, to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
And we are back from that break, and we're talking about
truth,
coherent truth, correspondent truth. You know, what do you want to live your life by?
I want to live it not by what makes me feel good, not by what I think is true, but by what is actually true.
Right. And truth seekers everywhere. I mean, if you're a truth seeker, do not settle for anything less than what you know to be the complete whole truth.
That's right. Here's where I stand shoulder to shoulder with some atheists.
Right.
Exactly. I say there's reality, and I want to know reality. I want to know the science. I want to know the math. I want to know the true truth about God's existence, about Jesus being the Son of God, about his resurrection. I want to know the truth about scriptures. Are they from God or not? I want to know the truth about the nature of the universe. I don't care what feels good.
Right.
I mean, I care. I want to feel good, but more important than that, I want to know what's real.
Right.
Because if God is real and I need to believe in Jesus and I need to follow him, I want to base my life on that.
Right. And the problem comes when we actually start taking things personal. If somebody's questioning your religion and you take it as a personal attack, you know, you shouldn't. Because if people are actually doing it the right way, man, I've sat down and had really cool conversations with atheists and agnostics. And I love those conversations because they make me think.
I can't believe you said that about me.
What?
I don't know. I'm just trying to take offense at something.
Right, there you go. All right.
Yeah, I mean, taking offense is ridiculous. And right. I agree. Like, let's have real good conversations about what's real. So, yeah, Norman Geisler, he's talking about coherent truth and correspondent truth in his book, The Encyclopedia of Christian Apologetics. Great big giant book. Everybody should go buy it.
It's an encyclopedia. It should be a very big book.
He says, truth about reality is what corresponds to the way things really are. Truth is telling it like it is. Mm-hmm. This correspondence applies to abstract realities as well as actual ones. There are mathematical truths. There are also truths about ideas. In each case, there's a reality, and truth accurately expresses it. Falsehood, then, is what does not correspond. It tells it like it is not, misrepresenting the way things are. The intent behind the statement is irrelevant. If it lacks proper correspondence, it's false.
Right.
And this is where we get into what why it's easy to get your feelings hurt. Because you think, well, I was intending to say something nice, mm-hmm. or this guy believes something good. He liked what he believed, but the intention doesn't really matter.
Right.
We need to know what's real.
And what is it? What is it we've said at our church all the time? Study and learn.
Yeah, study and learn. Opinions are of no concern.
There you go.
Study and learn. Opinions are of no concern. We don't want my opinion. We don't want Dave's opinion. We don't want Joe Blow's opinion. We want to know the facts.
Right.
Like, you can share your opinion if you've studied it and we can work together to find the truth, but that's what we want, is the truth.
Right.
You know, the problem is, for some reason, people throw out reality when they deal with Jesus and God and spirituality. They're like, hey, don't step in the street in front of a bus because you will die. But after you die, whatever you want to believe is okay with me.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, well, no, there might be a real hell and there might be a real heaven. Yeah. No, don't say that. Don't say that. You might offend somebody. Well, if I offend someone for telling them they're going to step in front of a bus, I'd rather offend them than let them step in front of a bus.
Yeah. Truth is really correspondent until the time you die. Then it's coherent. It's fine.
Death ushers you into falsehood.
Yeah, well, it's okay because you're dead, right?
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous. Now, here's where I love Christianity, because Christianity is one of the only religions that really follows the correspondence of reality. Mm-hmm. In Hinduism, they're about your thoughts, about what you feel is right. Buddhism is as well. Islam's correspondent like we are. Mm-hmm. The problem is you can't know that Islam corresponds to reality.
Right.
Because you won't know whether that one's true or not until after you've died.
Right, and we've done a ton of truth shots on different religions.
So go listen to our truth shots about these religions. And if you're right now, you're going, well, how does he know that? Go listen to our truth shots.
Right.
Then you'll hear
about
those.
We'll put some links up.
Yeah, go to the website, truthrevolution.tv, type in Hinduism or whatever. But Christianity, it's all about the resurrection of Jesus.
Right.
If that really happened, if that historical event was real, if he really rose from the dead, our religion is true and real. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. That's it.
Well, I want it to be a big deal,
but
it is a big deal because he actually did.
Did you say you want it to be a big deal?
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, that ultimately doesn't matter, does it?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't matter what we want. What matters is whether it's really a big deal or not.
Because it's not. Because we're not looking for coherent truth. We're looking for correspondent truth.
That's right. Likewise, we want to know whether the Bible is real or not. Hey, speaking of the Bible,
Bible contradiction.
All right, I stumbled upon a new website today.
Okay.
Yeah, it's truthbeknown.com.
Truthbeknown.com
sounds like a real nice place, doesn't it?
I don't have one of these. Do you have one of these for me?
I don't.
All right, just
read
it.
Want to share?
No, just read it.
Okay.
Just read it.
All right.
I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. I don't even know what's going
on. I'm blindsiding you with the truth.
Where am I?
The Bible contradiction.
Am I?
All right, here we go.
I'm in France.
Yes. All right. It's a little bit about Truth Be Known. Their overall statement about errors in the Bible basically goes like this. Despite the claims by Bible cheerleaders, the Judeo-Christian Bible is not God's word, but is riddled with errors and contradictions.
Well, that was a pretty big claim they just made.
Mm-hmm. There are some 150,000 errors, contradictions, and or variations between ancient copies of the New Testament.
I have a comment
alone.
On that. I have a
I
comment.
I know you do.
Okay.
All right.
I'll wait.
All right. We can do it afterwards.
See, you don't need to give this to me ahead of time. Right. I'm already upset.
All right. Their question or their statement on the permanency of earth is that there's a contradiction here. Ecclesiastes 1:4 says generations come and go, but the earth remains forever.
Okay.
Okay. 2 Peter 3:10 refutes that and says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be burned up.
Ecclesiastes 1 what?
4.
1:4.
Okay, now some translations or some transcripts in 2 Peter 3:10 said everything done in it will be laid bare, okay, rather than be burned up. So,
okay.
There you have it.
All right.
Will the earth be burned up or is it remaining forever?
Will the earth be here forever or does it go away? Yes. Yes, this is an easy Bible contradiction to resolve.
Wow.
Okay.
It's just a yes?
It goes away and it remains forever. First of all, we're going to use our cracked acronym.
Okay.
And we're going to go to the letter A, author's intent. Mm-hmm. C is context. R is revealed, like it has to be revealed by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
A is author's intent. C is credibility, like you got to give the Bible some credit.
Right.
Knit together is K, meaning the Bible from beginning to end is one big story. You can't take any one piece out.
Right.
E is early meaning in manuscripts. You have to get back to what they originally meant. And D is dialect, like what types of language, what types of grammar were they using?
Right.
Now, we're going to go to A here as well as D for dialect.
Okay.
what's interesting here is this is written in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is basically a, in layman's terms, a whining book.
Is it?
It's a whining book. It's a listen to chapter 1 verses verses 2. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What advantage does man have in his work which he does under the sun? Now, do you think when he's saying this vanity, everything's vanity,
right.
Do you think that God is really trying to tell us everything's vanity, nothing matters at all? No. Clearly, he's really just angry and he's exaggerating. He's making a point that every right now in his life, things stink.
Right.
And he goes on in verse, in verse 4, he goes, a generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. No, his point here is, look, oh, everything's vanity. You think your life's so important, but you know what? There was generations before you. There were generations after you. Earth ain't going nowhere. You're going to die, brother.
Right.
And he goes on, he says, all things are wearisome. Man is not able to tell it. Nor is the eye satisfied with seeing, nor the ears filled with hearing. Like, he's just going on about nothing really means anything.
Right.
That's his point. He is vain right now. Now, it comes to a conclusion later, but that we're not teaching about that right now.
Right.
So that his point, he's not trying to teach about whether or not the earth is going to be here forever. He's trying to teach about vanity, about the futility of life sometimes. Now, you go to the other verse, which was what again?
Now, the other verse is...
He put his paper down and I asked him. I waited until he put it down.
Yeah, he did. Totally. 2 Peter 3:10.
Okay. 2 Peter 3:10 tells us the earth is going to be destroyed by fire.
Right.
But what's interesting here is you also have in the book of Revelation when and elsewhere where it talks about there'll be a new earth.
Mm-hmm.
The word in Greek that is used for new is really like renewed. You've heard in the Bible how Christians are supposed to be a new creation.
Right.
Well, that's the same word. We are a renewed creation. God doesn't destroy us and make something new when we accept Jesus. He renews us. He makes something better. He will bring fire to this earth. He will completely destroy the old ways and renew it in a totally new way.
Right.
So the earth will be here forever. And when Peter was saying that it's going to be destroyed, he meant the old ways will be destroyed. He didn't mean the actual earth was going to be destroyed. So that's why I said, well, yeah, the earth is going to be destroyed, but yeah, it's also going to be here forever. These verses don't contradict each other at all.
Bible contradiction.
I love the Bible, man.
Me too. All right, we're going to get the truth. Let's do another question because we're running out of time. And while he's pulling that up, I do want to make a comment about the nature of truth. Robert Bowman wrote a book, and in it he says, there's many religions in the marketplace of ideas. Why believe one rather than another? Let us begin by narrowing the field to those we can take seriously. Here's a suggestion. Start by eliminating all religions that show disregard for facts in the real world.
Right.
And so, you know, the point here is, let's treat the existence of God as something that's absolute, that might actually be real, instead of just fairy ideas that you wish for. So when you look for a religion, when you look for truth, what's the reality there? Our show is almost over.
That's the reality of it right there.
Read the question.
All right, question here real quick. You truly think that if a Christian commits suicide, they'll go to heaven?
Okay.
I myself don't think that makes a whole lot of sense. After all, suicide is a sin.
Okay, there's only one unforgivable sin.
Uh-huh.
It's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Nobody should commit suicide, but it is not the unforgivable sin.
Right.
I wouldn't want to face God, though, and explain to him why I chose to commit murder.
Mm.
It's the murder of yourself.
Right.
But it is not the unforgivable sin. All right. If you got questions, go to truthrevolution.tv or send an email to questions@truthrevolution.tv.
There you go.
Thanks, everybody, for donating to the show. You help make this happen. You know, we it may seem like we have tons of donors because we're on a lot of channels. We really don't. Those of you who help out, you make a huge difference.
Right. Those people that are helping out, carrying a lot of weight.
So come on over to truthrevolution.tv, 99 cents, or just listen to the old shows. Good stuff. Have a great week, and God bless.
See you next week.